Okay, let's move on back to the time certain item number 438.
Okay. Accept report on the Portland Development Commission 2015-2020 strategic plan.
So I want to welcome Chair Kelly and Patrick Quinton up to give us an update on this work. As you recall, we had a council discussion about this. The previous iteration of this process, we're now farther along, and they're here to give us a report. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Harrells, commissioners. Thanks for this opportunity to present our plan and discuss partnership and the implementation. I became chair right before this planning process began, so it provided me the opportunity to think the big picture about the direction of PDC and beginning at the beginning of my tenure as chair. While I appreciate the great work of my predecessor and the PDC staff who struggled through the recession to jumpstart the local economy, we face a whole new set of challenges that I and the rest of the board are eager to tackle. The city faces growing inequality in income, wealth, and opportunity. The city is becoming increasingly unaffordable to not just the poor, but to the working families whose income should provide access to housing anywhere in the city. And I know all too well from working in North and Northeast Portland my whole life how many of our neighborhoods and residents continue to be left behind and left out of the prosperity that so many enjoy in our city. So it is entirely appropriate to present to you today a strategic plan with an unprecedented focus on creating opportunities for communities of color and fostering healthy neighborhoods for all Portland residents. Before I turn it over to Patrick to walk you through the plan, I'd like to express my appreciation to the citizens who served on the advisory committee over the past 8 months. This was an extraordinary group, and you're going to hear from a few of them, that provided valuable insight without regard to their own self-interest and really established the values of the plan that you have before you. With that, I turn it over to Patrick Quinton.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Kelly, and good morning, Mayor Hales, commissioners. I apologize for being late, and I appreciate the effort that was made to have us on schedule, and so I obviously undermined that. But I was coming back from a tour of Apano and J District's new proposed community center, and just coming back from 82nd. So it's good inspiration for this presentation. So as Chair Kelly mentioned, we are embarking on a new five-year period for the agency with a whole new set of challenges, and I want to walk you through the plan, and you've heard about the plan in its earliest form, and so I'm not going to kind of retread that ground, but I do want to update you on kind of how the plan has evolved over the past 4 or 5 months, and particularly the public input we received, and then maybe preview some of the implementation that will happen with the plan. Just as a reminder, our strategic plan serves two purposes. The document you have, one is a more of a strategic framework for PDC and our partners around how we address a whole range of issues related to the health of the economy, to the health of our neighborhoods, and to the prosperity of all of our residents. It also serves as the guiding document for our agency, and so it does kind of filter down through all the planning that we do as an agency. Every year, we establish work plans that tie back to the five-year plan. That agency work plan then filters down to team and individual work plans, and then, of course, it's used to set our budget. So when our board meets every year to begin to draft our budget, we start by looking at the annual work plan and the strategic plan and try to budget accordingly. And then, of course, this is how we measure the success of our work, of the metrics that we establish in our strategic plan. Once again, we've been on this path now for roughly 8-9 months, and as Chair Kelly mentioned, I think it's been a really enlightening and fruitful path. A lot of great conversation, and it started with the committee that Chair Kelly mentioned, but also the work of the outside consultant, and then working through various iterations of the document and providing opportunities for public input. So we are now at the end of the road here. So we're quite pleased to be at this point and bring this to you, and then next it goes to the PDC board next week for approval. But we are at the stage in which this is meant to be a final document and move on to the good work of implementation. When we last met with you, I think we were sharing with you what we referred to as a 40% document. We updated that document to a 50% document before we went out to public, and the percentages are meant to just signify kind of roughly how far along we are in the process. But I think officially the last document you saw was what we characterized as a 40% document. And before we went to share kind of with the broad public conversation, these are the changes that we made. There was some final conversations around issues around sustainability. They got incorporated. We actually, when we presented to you, we were discussing the concept of updating our clusters. The 50% document actually presented those clusters. We did some reordering, actually moved our healthy neighborhood objective to the front of the plan as kind of the foundation of all the work. And then we kind of clarified some of the fundamental values of the plan so that to kind of fill in the context around the actions and objectives. And then lastly, we filled in numbers around metrics. So that's the document that we created that we took out for public consumption. And in a second I'll walk you through what we heard. But now, just as a reminder, the structure that we went out and presented to the public was these five related objectives, four really externally focused, and the fifth one, as we do in our plans, the fifth one was focused on our internal operations, really to how do we as an organization live the values and strive for the objectives as an organization that we have for the city. But the other four are you can see in front of you, and they go in terms of an order from creating healthy healthy connected neighborhoods, healthy complete neighborhoods. Second is creating access to high quality employment. The third is creating opportunities for wealth creation for communities of color and low income communities, and then the last one is to create 21st century civic networks and partnerships to address the kind of larger issues that impact prosperity as a city. And all of these objectives come together towards the overarching goal of promoting widely shared prosperity among all Portlanders. We don't believe these objectives stand alone, and in fact we believe that the only way that we move the needle toward prosperity is by addressing all these different objectives. So we took this plan to a variety of public forums, and you can see them outlined here. Two public open houses. One was held at our offices. The other was held at ERCO's facility in East Portland. We had an online forum, so anyone could come online and enter into conversation around various topics. That remained open for several months and received a lot of feedback that way. And then we had a lot of very specific meetings, both with partners that are you see listed in the plan, that are the partners that we'll be working with over the next 5 years, but in addition, a whole range of other stakeholder groups, and pretty much met with anybody who wanted to talk about our plan. And so you can see how all the different groups that are listed there, and once again, it cuts across the range of work that we do as an agency. On the neighborhood side, on placemaking side, redevelopment, but also around economic development, entrepreneurship, the whole range of different facets of our work. And so some of the questions that we asked of our groups, and mainly when we had larger kind of more open groups like our town hall and the online, we asked people whether or not they agreed with the draft goal that was presented in the plan, and as well as the draft vision, and you can see they had choices across a range of strongly agree down to strongly disagree. And what you see here is that the draft goal, prosperity, shared prosperity for all Portland residents, is kind of strongly supported in these forums. Pretty much almost universal support for that as a goal. And the vision in the document is, as you can see, is a vision statement is kind of how you view the future. So you state it as this is how we would describe the future state of Portland. And we have in our document that Portland will be one of the most globally competitive, healthy, and equitable cities in the world. And so you see this split on this in terms of the feedback that we receive from the public. And what we determined from conversations with individuals was the folks who strongly disagree were basically saying, we don't think it is right now. And that's true. And so that's what we're aiming for. So as a vision statement, I think people who articulated their viewpoint on where we should be heading, they agree. But there was also a reminder that a lot of people don't feel like we're there yet. And so I think that's a strong incentive for us to undertake this work. When we asked about the five objectives of the plan, which I walked through, and this chart's kind of confusing. It was confusing to me, but each of the colors represents one of the five objectives, and then how it was ranked in each of these categories, very important down to not important, is shown. So you can see that for all five objectives, the overwhelming majority felt that these were all very important objectives. And what's interesting about it is the response shows almost a relative ranking. So people uniformly felt that it was very important to have healthy, connected neighborhoods. It was important to have access to high-quality employment and equitable wealth creation. Concepts like the 21st century civic networks, as we've talked about, this is more of a speculative part of the plan, something that we're going to try and figure out how to address some larger problems. That was, I think, a harder concept for people to grasp, and so you can see that in how people ranked it. And then, of course, our own internal operations, the people obviously care about, but it's not going to move the needle as much as the first three. So I think we got strong feedback that the first three objectives, which really are kind of the foundation of our work, healthy, connected neighborhoods, access to high-quality employment, access to wealth creation opportunities, there was strong agreement from the public that this was the right direction for us to take. And then if you look through kind of the actual feedback, what people wrote down on sticky notes or what they communicated to us in our meetings, you can see there's some common themes that relate to affordability, affordable housing. Maybe when we get to some discussion on this, we can talk about how we should be thinking about our role in affordable housing. But currently, it's not a core part of our work. But I know there's a strong sense that PDC should be more involved. But then there's also there's a series of more kind of how we do our work around community involvement, around making sure that we're aligned with the efforts from other plans. And that people like the fact that we're thinking holistically. We've heard feedback from council, and we heard as well from the public, that we need to make sure that we remain focused. This is an ambitious plan, and so we heard that from the public as well. Some more specific pieces of feedback, lots of feedback to make sure that not only focused on East Portland, but that we're measuring our impact on East Portland, that it's not simply about including in the plan, but being able to demonstrate those actions. As we've talked about this plan in the past, we've talked about how we're bringing the neighborhood concept back citywide so that we use it for all of our work, whether in Old Town or in Lentz or in Central East Side or in North and Northeast Portland. And so there's a lot of, I think, positive feedback on that. We were also reminded to think about the connection between small businesses, large businesses. I think that's, fairly obvious to us, but we do have a small business economy, and a lot of the programs that we offer do focus on small businesses. But the plan needs to remember that there's a symbiotic relationship between that. And then, well, locally, it may not be that important. Nationally, when we've talked about our plan to some of our partners like Brookings, I do think that the topics that we're trying to take on are topics that a lot of cities are grappling with. And so people like Brookings are saying, yeah, go figure that out. And I'm not suggesting that we're going to figure it out in any kind of clear, concise way. But I think cities taking on these challenges in a very upfront, honest way and then sharing their lessons is important, not just for Portland, but also for the rest of the country, because what we're experiencing in inequality and affordability, those issues really aren't unique to Portland. And so, as it says here, our next step is to go to our board. The board will formally adopt the plan. We'll ask them to formally adopt the plan. They obviously have to vote on it next week, May 13th. And then we dive into implementation on this. And I can tell you from a staff perspective, we're very eager to move ahead. When we come back to you on the 13th as well, to present our budget, and you said as our budget committee, you will see a budget that is presented along this structure. You'll see how in year one of this plan we proposed to allocate our dollars to achieve these objectives, and so you'll begin to see how this plan actually lives in the reality of PDC. And then of course the partnerships that are key to this will begin to move forward on those, and then a lot of the key initiatives that we've talked about in the plan here, we'll begin to take action on. You see things like the Lentz Action Plan, the Old Town Action Plan, our work in South Waterfront, our goals around what's supposed to happen on MLK or Gateway. All these things are key elements of this plan, and this is work that we are actively doing. So the implementation for us is real. And I guess I'll end with this, and I had a chance to talk with Commissioner Fish about this yesterday as well. I people have commented that this seems like an ambitious plan, and in some respects it may be too ambitious. We can agree or disagree on that. Our board and staff like to have ambitious plans. We do. We work at PDC because we like the impact that we can have on this city. And I think we have a track record of implementation. So I sat before some of you in 2009 and presented an economic development strategy that many thought was ambitious. And I know, because I was part of it and a lot of other people were part of it, we did the work. We implemented a plan and we got a lot of it right, and some of it didn't work out. That's the same attitude that we're taking to this. So our attitude is, great plan, but we're ready to implement, and that's what we do. We don't let plans sit on the shelf, and I think we have a track record of doing that. And I look forward to, with your approval and the approval of our board, working on this in partnership with you and coming back annually or sooner than that and talking about the progress we're making and how we can make adjustments along the way to achieve these outcomes. So thank you.
Questions?
Mayor, I have a bunch of questions, first, I want to really publicly thank Patrick and his staff for the amount of time they're spending with each of us to walk us through the plan at each of the milestones. That chart you showed earlier with all the levels of touch-ins and communications is really very impressive, and so thank you. And I generally think this is a well-written and pretty clear document, and so I appreciate that. I do have some concerns, and I want to just put them on the record and just try to clarify them, because my concern is not that PDC, when given marching orders, can't, get to the finish line. My concern is anytime there's the chance we set the bar too high and through no fault of your own, you don't hit the mark. And I think that we're justifiably criticized sometimes for being too ambitious and then falling short, and that doesn't help anybody's cause. And so when I've expressed to you, Patrick, some concerns about the focus and how ambitious it is, it's not in the context of expressing doubts that you can deliver good products. It's that just to make sure that we have reasonable and clear-eyed expectations about what you can accomplish, so that in 5 years you can come back and say mission accomplished and take a bow, rather than gosh, we fell a little short here or there, that maybe may have turned out we set our sights too high. In that regard, let me start by saying I'm delighted that you've included media explicitly as one of the clusters. So I think it's technology and media.
Yep. Yes.
And from my, as you described that to me, that picks up things like the creative economy, film, and other things, and including software et al. So I think that's very important, and I think that's long-term beneficial. One of the sort of structural things about the report I want to just offer as a suggestion is, it doesn't really reference in any dynamic way the strategic plan that it's replacing. And I think in terms of a complete document, it's helpful to say we had a five-year plan for economic development. Here's what we accomplished. And now we're embarking in a new plan that builds on that but changes it in certain key ways looking forward. Because I think it tells the story more completely. One of the things I was struck by, though, is I went back and looked at the old five-year plan, and it says to build a sustainable economy. That the new vision is to build a globally competitive, healthy, and equitable economy. What happened to sustainable?
Well, at the time, we were, we were trying to achieve two things. One was, you know, we were in a recession, and the notion of a sustainable economy, not from an environmental sustainability perspective, but from an economy that was more resistant to the cycles of the broader national global economy, that was an outcome that that was important to us. I think we felt that historically that Portland and the state would suffer more than most parts of the country during recessions. And so I think we wanted to create an economy that was more diverse and that we continued the evolution from the legacy part of the economy to that. And then the second part was to be more explicit about using our reputation, our knowledge and skills and history around sustainability, around clean technology and green development as a competitive advantage. And so that was almost the mantra of that. And I think it's never done, but I think that we've made tremendous progress on both fronts. And so the challenge that we're facing now is really around inequality. It's around who benefits from what we see as a very, you know, on a macro level, very prosperous economy. So that's really the emphasis now. And it doesn't mean that, I mean, my board chair here is one of the leaders in our community around sustainability. So we are not going to forget our sustainability roots and that as a value, but this is meant to be an explicit statement about equity, and this is the challenge we're facing. The last thing I'll say is the word healthy sits in that because when we met with sustainability leaders and other stakeholders around that and we talked about how do we make sure we don't lose that, the concept that was pushed back to us was not sustainability if just for itself, that it's really about healthy communities, that your goal is really to create healthy communities. Sustainability is a means to do that, and so the term healthy does actually reference that as well as a lot of other values.
I'm pleased to hear that qualification because you have a board member, Mark Edlin, who regularly comes before us and says it's time to double down on sustainability because it's core to who we are and it's core to our success story. And I don't want changing words on paper to in any way indicate that we're backing off what's been a very effective strategy in terms of the green sustainable city. I do hear that there's a more robust focus on equity, but I don't think they're mutually exclusive.
Nope.
And to hear that healthy picks that up is helpful for me.
Yes.
Let's turn to metrics, though, for a second, Patrick, because this is the area that I have the biggest concern. And maybe it's maybe my concern can be allayed by just understanding the difference between high-level metrics and the kinds of performance measurements you're going to come back to council on. When I first read this document and I looked at the high-level measures of success, it just seemed like it was asking a lot of you to be the driver of some of these indicators, like boosting significantly resident satisfaction in surveys in East Portland. I mean, you can do a lot of things, but I'm not sure you can be held accountable for boosting that by 40%. Or making a significant dent in home ownership, particularly when market forces and things like new underwriting guidelines make it much harder to get people into home ownership, maybe making the affordable housing rental agenda more compelling. Or the one that I think really jumped out at me is this idea that in 5 years you're reduced by half the number of households in high-poverty neighborhoods without promoting displacement. That's a wonderful aspiration. It strikes me as being very difficult for you to achieve. Now, the measure of success language says these high-level metrics are not only PDC's efforts, but the collective impact of public and private parties. So that suggests that, in a sense, you're laying these out as aspirations, but you're acknowledging that you can't get there by yourself.
Yep.
So, but someone's going to read this and look at these and say, this is PDC committing to these outcomes. What will be the difference between these high-level measures of success and the specific performance measures that you've come to council on? And what will be specifically PDC's role versus the community's role in helping you get there?
So if you kind of think back to how we've reported back to council on the previous economic development strategy, we in our annual report would summarize that as well as in a written document. We would talk about the actual programmatic outputs of the agency, so number of loans or number of businesses that we worked with, and then getting to specific programs like our Enterprise Zone program, dollars that we've, investment that we've attracted, the leverage that we achieved there, and then the demographic makeup of the individuals or businesses that we've helped, those kind of things. Those are the kind of metrics that we will continue to track. They'll be tailored, once again, to the outcomes that we're trying to achieve through this plan. So if we're talking about wealth creation opportunities for entrepreneurs of color, women, then we're going to report back to you on how many businesses we're working with, what dollars are invested, what kind of leverage we're – so we can report back on those. Those are the levers that we will be pulling as a contribution towards these more macro outcomes that you see here. And then I think, some of these, there's alignment with where there's overlap. There's alignment with the Portland plan and other plans around these objectives. So some of this is just repeating what's already out there, whether it be the Portland plan or the Climate Action Plan. And so we're all pulling together on that, and we collectively, I think, are accountable on those. And some of them are new that we want to put out there as reminders, like we all need to rally around these outcomes because if we're all trying to achieve a more prosperous Portland, then we should be thinking about this and not be concerned about who's to blame if we don't get it, but can we all align our work around this? So things like reducing the number of households in high-poverty neighborhoods, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that's something that we've been tracking. That's a relatively new concept. So that's something that I think we're trying to put out there. Is like, hey, let's rally around that.
I'm not worried about who's going to get blamed. PDC has, some of your forebears have said that PDC stands for pretty damn convenient.
Yeah.
So we know who's going to get blamed if you don't hit your mark. I just want to make sure that in saying things like we're going to reduce by 50% the number of households living in high-poverty neighborhoods, that you as an agency that has a declining resource in TIF, a huge plate, and through the strategic plan, an even broader scope, are really in a position to say you can either make that happen or lead that effort in 5 years. And while it's laudable, I mean, I subscribe to it without hesitation, I just don't know whether you can make that happen. And I don't want to have your precious credibility compromised by making commitments to things that sound good politically, but that we can't achieve, because I know we've been through that before. And PDC's turned a corner, and I don't want you in 5 years to have to come before us and say, we fell far short, and maybe in retrospect it was too ambitious.
This is a very helpful discussion, and I wanted it to continue for at least this far. But if I can, Commissioner Fish, let me get you to hold the rest of your questions until after we hear from the task force members that are here, because we've got at least two of them here. That's my fault.
All right.
This is good context, and I saw Annette nodding, and I think she might have a thought or two about just this subject. So that was helpful.
Okay.
But if we can, if you guys are wrapped, then let me call up. I see at least two. Annette Mattson and John Tapania are here, and I think maybe Sam Rodriguez. So we've got at least a couple of members of the task force that are here, want to hear from them. So please, come on up. Please, Annette, come on up. Thank you. And is Sam here as well? They were on a subject about which I've heard from
Never
Annette.
Never not so. Again.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Like to start.
Mayor Hales, members of the council, thank you for the opportunity to comment on the strategic plan. My name is Annette Mattson. I live in East Portland. I'm a member of the PDC NED Leadership Committee, the EPAP Economic Development Committee, and I chair the Lentz 5-Year Action Plan. There is much I could say about this plan, but remarks are to be brief, so I'll comment on the things I find particularly meaningful. First, this plan intentionally calls for actions which are to benefit all Portlanders, recognizing that increased prosperity is meaningless if it only applies to those who have college degrees or who are white or who live in certain neighborhoods. Committee conversations acknowledge that the Portland of our national reputation does not exist for all citizens. Racial disparities in income and access and socioeconomic segregation are Portland's current reality. The plan has goals related to equity and increased prosperity for all. As an East Portland resident, I appreciate that the committee and the plan include support for the needs of East Portland. This council knows well the history of lagging investment east of 82nd Avenue. I commend the strategic plan outcomes of connecting East Portland residents with major employment centers, strengthening East Portland amenities, and of increasing East Portland resident satisfaction. I do want to call out access to career path employment. Internships, apprenticeships, skill development, these are critical items for Portland's economic success. When a person learns the skills they need to help them get and keep a quality job, they can move from unemployment or a minimum wage job to making a living. Investing in people will help address our need for more skilled workers, make for more equitable job access, and increase the percentage of households that are self-sufficient. Lastly, I would like to comment on the difficult but important element of the whole plan, forming civic networks, institutions, and partnerships, and the identification of interdependent plans and initiatives. To put all of the work on PDC alone could be a setup for failure. PDC may be the lead, but organizations within the entire city, you as elected leaders, your bureaus, you're also a part of these goals and making sure this is a success. The county government, the state government, educational entities, the business community, and others, we can all help as well as benefit from the areas of our shared interests. I mean, we're going to know in 5 years, because we're going to measure along the way, thanks to some great metrics in this plan, how we're doing and how we have done. And sadly, if we fail in this goal, who are really going to be failing will be our citizens. But to succeed in this plan means that all of the people of Portland are going to have a better place to live and to work and to be a part of. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, John.
Good morning. John Taponia, president of Echo Northwest, sat on the steering committee. Just a few comments. First of all, I wanted to commend the staff. This is a process that I forget how many meetings there were. There were an appropriate amount of meetings. Staff were well organized. And you saw meaningful change between the meetings, that they had listened both to the steering committee, but clearly had listened to the community. So it wasn't like we were just coming back and seeing the same report every time we returned. So great work there. Second point, PDC's role and the important place in terms of economic opportunity, I think, just got a huge shot of importance with the report that came out this week from Raj Chetty at Harvard. It's been publicized in the New York Times. But really, for the first time, has estimated what they would argue is causation. How much does place cause either the economic mobility or the lack of it? So I would encourage any time you have this afternoon, if you want to get on the New York Times and play around with their map, it's a fascinating piece, but it speaks directly to this work. And frankly, Multnomah County is kind of in the middle of the pack. It was not the most or even close to the top of the list in terms of a place that delivered opportunity. So I would encourage that. And as you look at it, think about this work, because I think it makes this work ever more important. Third point, I would say that, like Brookings did, I would compliment the staff again for working with the community and really injecting this notion of equality. This is a tough topic. It is There's always a tension between unbridled economic growth and trying to distribute that growth across a region, across different segments of the population. And that's very hard work, and I think Brookings is right to have recognized that Portland is one of the first to engage in it, and it's important to get right. I think one place where you will see there was a change from last time is the addition broadly of the healthcare sector is something that this plan is paying attention to. That is not what you would typically find in an economic development strategy. It's a local, it is a local sector strategy that includes also things like the Knight Cancer Challenge. But it was that focus on middle-skill jobs that really drove the staff in that position. So very intentional work to get this right, and nothing but high praise for the folks that worked a lot more hours than we did getting it to where it was.
Thank you both. Thanks for doing this, and I appreciate your comment, especially about the fact that I watched that too, that you were all the steering committee members were influential in shaping the work. It wasn't just they were signing off on what the consultant or the staff came up with, but they were shaping the work, and then the public did too. So I thought it was a very valid process, and really appreciated you all putting the time in that you, and the rest of the committee, the time that you have. It's made a big difference.
Could I ask John a question? This was a question. I was curious how healthcare kind of crept into the targeted industries. So I guess you tackled that. So it's
yes,
because it has good middle wage jobs.
Absolutely. So over probably three or four meetings, a lot of debate around sort of the original clusters and how much the original clusters could deliver middle wage jobs, and that's a tension when you've got. What's the most recent? Google is looking downtown. I don't know when and if they show up and fill up their office space, how many middle skill jobs they will directly create. We want them, but probably whatever they bring. But middle skill jobs are probably not going to be the highlight of that. And so we kept turning over, and ultimately landed on healthcare as a place where we know. We know the economy is going to grow because of the demographics of the population. But I would also say that in much the same way that this region has been increasingly popular to the so-called young and restless, it is also attracting older immigrants into the region, and they happen to bring Medicare dollars with them from the federal treasury. That can be used in our hospitals and physicians' offices, and that's not such a bad thing.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? Thank you both very much. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
May I just one comment to Commissioner Nick on the achieving the goals? So, you know, I was a David Douglas School Board member for 18 years. And when I was a fairly new school board member, we put in place the highest graduation state standards for the entire state of Oregon. But we didn't just set in place those standards. We then looked at what was needed for students and teachers to achieve those goals, assigned those, funded them, you know, identified. And really, this is ambitious, you're right. Our citizens deserve nothing less. So I would ask that all of you, in looking at your budgets, your goals, your bureaus going forward, look for what PDC, or more importantly, what our citizens need for this vision of prosperity, and find ways in which all of you can help support that.
Thank you. Thanks, both of you. I don't think there are any other steering committee members here. Maybe we should take public testimony and then call Patrick back up. So anyone signed up to speak on this item?
Yes, we have six people signed up. The first three are Brad Hathaway, Duffy Dufresne, and Dennis McNanny.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Hales, City Commissioners.
Just pull that microphone a little more directly towards you, Brad. Thanks.
How's that?
Great.
All right. Again, thank you for this opportunity to address you. My name is Brad Hathaway. I am a resident of Southeast Portland. Today, I would like to ask the city to give greater opportunity or priority to the commercialization of bioscience, especially as it sets priorities for the next 5 years. For the past 5 years, I've worked as the senior finance leader of the Beaverton facility of Welch Allyn, a medical device company. During this time, I've seen the benefit of being affiliated with the Industries Trade Association, Oregon Bio. And through it, I've seen value to our company of being part of a growing community of bioscience companies. And I hope this industry is on your radar screen. I've reviewed this draft of the PDC strategic plan. It's an impressive document. The plan recognizes the cancer challenge, the NITE cancer challenge, describing the opportunity as catalytic. However, and given the recognized need for more good-paying jobs, it seems unfortunate that this version of the plan then takes such an indifferent stance toward the commercial activity that this increase in R&D will generate. Here's how I see it. With $1 billion in R&D now anticipated at the Knight Cancer and other institutes, I think it seems fair to anticipate at least hundreds of millions of dollars of commercial benefit. These are good-paying jobs at companies that tend to stay put because of the high cost of getting processes initially qualified with regulatory bodies. Now, this is a competitive marketplace, and I recognize that there is no guarantee that this economic benefit will end in Portland. But I believe we can and should plan on competing for a share. And I believe our single best opportunity is by working together to create a concentration of commercial bioscience right here in the city. By leveraging our good fortune, this unexpected increase in R&D, combined with the soon-to-be-completed Telecom Crossing, and the relative affordability of the Central East Side. If we're going to create such a concentration, no other site in Portland offers what the Central East Side has. What I'm describing will take a greater level of coordination and focus and stepped-up efforts from a range of stakeholders. And with the city as one of the key stakeholders, this effort will certainly benefit from the types of tools and resources PDC proposes for the sectors it has targeted. And that is why I'm asking the city to include bioscience in its listing of targeted trade sectors in this five-year plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, commissioners. My name is Duffy Dufresne, and I am a resident of Southwest Portland. I want to start by commending the Portland Development Commission for doing a phenomenal job of coming up with a very thorough and very comprehensive five-year strategic plan draft. I also want to echo some of Brad's comments that, you know, we'd love to see a tweaking, if you will, of the definition of healthcare to include not only the services component of healthcare, but the commercial component of healthcare. I spent my entire career in the life sciences sector. I grew up in Portland, but I moved after high school and worked for most of my career in the Boston area, also a little bit in the Bay Area. And over about a 25-year span, I served as the CEO of five biotech and medical device companies, and I took two companies public. A little over 3.5 years ago, I moved back to Portland for personal reasons and have enjoyed being, again, a resident in Portland. As a very involved member of the Oregon Bioscience Association, as well as the chair of OHSU's Strategic Advisory Group, and also a partner in Alignment Ventures, I've seen the bioscience sector in Portland develop significantly over the last 3.5 year period of time, albeit from what was a very small starting point. I agree that the umbrella effect of the Knight Cancer Challenge is going to be huge, as was mentioned in the draft report and elsewhere, and will have an impact on dramatically increasing that development seen over the last 3 years and accelerating that development for commercialization of life science technologies in Portland. The opportunities, the employment opportunities in this kind of sector are both high-paying and have a very high educational content and a broad spectrum of skill sets associated with that sector. And I see those as very much in congruence with the goals of this Portland Development Commission 5-year strategic plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor, Councilman members. Excuse me, I'm fighting a chest cold, so if I break out in coughing, I apologize. My name is Dennis McDaney. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Bioscience Association. I guess my comments are, as a follow-up to my two peers, are that the Knight Cancer Institute is a once-in-a-generation and challenges a once-in-a-generation opportunity. I get to do economic development every day in my job. In the last 3 months, I've given 2 leadership tours to 2 national biopharma, international biopharma companies. One I was fortunate to give was to John Lettlider, who's the CEO of Eli Lilly, who had never actually toured Portland. He's on the board of Nike, so he flies into Hillsboro frequently, but does his business and flies out. And he was literally amazed. We brokered a meeting with Dr. Drucker, and it was just an amazing opportunity to watch an international CEO realize for the first time that Portland has characteristics and economic development advantages that he just really couldn't even fathom. And he zeroed in pretty quickly in the Southeast waterfront. We concluded the tour that day on the steps of the CLSB, on the back veranda of the CLSB. And he looked across the river and he saw a bridge that was going to connect 2 parts of a city for the first time in a way that could trigger an industry. And certainly he saw potential on that side of the river to really do some great work, maybe position people there to take advantage of what's taking place at the Knight. I'm not the quickest study, but after a couple of those tours, I realized that Oregon Bio had to do something very specific. Brad and I have been working now for 9 months, and with the help of other members, have decided to start a task force to help guide, to the extent we can, for our industry, the development of the Inter-Southeast Quadrant. So as we talk about the longer, broader goals, I think those are important, and they're codified, I think, well in this strategic plan. But there's really no substitute for tactical industry involvement with all the stakeholders. So our task force is going to include members from Metro, from Congressman Blumenauer's staff. We'd like the city, PDC, OHSU, and a variety of industry stakeholders to really think deeply about how we want to preserve and leverage this one-time opportunity, I think, because once it starts to be developed for other purposes and with other objectives, we lose that opportunity of locating a nice concentration of bioscience companies next to a world-class center for cancer research and, frankly, for medical research more broadly. I asked the question to John Lechleiter when he was standing there, can you think of anywhere on the West Coast that has this combination of attributes? He says, I can't think of anywhere that has this combination at this moment for this particular market. So I appreciate the time you took to hear our comments. I'd entertain any questions you may have.
Well, I just want to thank you for obviously bringing a point to the table here in a very coherent way and with the right people in the room to hear it. So with Patrick and our chairman here and all of us, this is very helpful. Now, we'll get Patrick back up to comment later on you know, what do we think we should do at this juncture versus later. But nevertheless, your point's well made. We also, as you probably know, I think Brad knows that we're in the process now of doing this land use plan for the Inter-Southeast as well. So there's a strategic plan for PDC is how it does its business, but there's also literally what zoning says we want and don't want in that part of the central city as well as everybody else and everywhere else in our comp plan process. So your concern is really timely. Having been on this council when we first conceived of the idea of the South Waterfront as a major employment area focused on healthcare, you know, what goes around comes around, and it's nice to see that we actually have that opportunity now, even though the recession kind of got in our way. But the Knight Challenge certainly gets us back into the game, and I think you've made that point very well here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for these folks? Thank you all. Thanks very much.
Next 3 are Mr. Lightning, Barry Sutton, and Charles Johnson.
Okay, come on up.
We'll go ahead and go with Steve Entwistle then.
Okay.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Housing X. I think the report is actually quite good. I like the fact that you're kind of reaching high in the sky on a lot of these different issues. And again, that's what innovation and entrepreneurship is really all about, is to try to come up with an idea and go forward and see what happens. So I absolutely agree with this way of doing this report. Now, one of the things where I'm at is that I always want the term healthier city, healthier neighborhoods to really be emphasized, because I think really that's where we need to really focus. And the thing that I like is that we have a lot of, we've been talking the shared economy, a lot of different people coming into the area with a lot of great ideas that I think we're going to have a lot of jobs created. We're going to have a lot of incomes increasing. But we need to also focus on, there's a certain segment of the population that a lot of this may not benefit. And we need to keep focused on that to make sure that they lift up to their best potential within a growing economy also. And we've mentioned again, and I've stated this on that United States Post Office, I'm hoping PDC will look at that more of a mixed income type development, housing units, possibly warehouse, some open space in there to really benefit the overall community, especially on the lower income level. And what I'd like to see is that we create something there that allows the people, again, off the sidewalks into a location with the intent that we have a lot of people that are creating great innovation throughout the city will join in an effort to work with them within their startup companies and try to figure out ways that you can lift this segment of the population up at the same time that you're reaching high in the sky on your ideas when you created your companies. Ultimately, the people are the most important thing in this city. We need to keep focusing investment in that area. Buildings are only buildings. Land is only land. The greatest potential for improvements are the people of the city. And we must not ever forget that. And we must focus on that and make sure that the people who need the assistance and they want to show some type of improvement are given those opportunities on these type of transactions and the type of deals we're discussing, especially on entrepreneurship. We need to keep focusing on that, that everybody has the capacity to offer something in this city and they can fit within your ideas, fit within your companies, and we must not ever forget that, to keep offering improvement for the people that need the improvement and assistance the most. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. Charles, I think you may be next. Or Stephen, go ahead.
Good morning, Commissioner. As you know, for the record, my name is Charles Johnson. And what we have just seen is closely related to this 31-page PDF from PDC, in that we're not doing equity very well here. Before the three of us bearded white gentlemen sat down, three clean-shaven white gentlemen with ties sat down. That is not a good follow-up to remarks that began with somebody talking about Apano and the Jade District. Apano is the Asian Pacific, an island. I can't remember now the exact letters, but we know that's talking about our Asian community and Asian Pacific people. Then the speaker went on to mention IRCO, the Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization. They're not here. We have a concern about an appearance that their voices are tokenized. When we talk about biotech, we need to talk about getting a diverse group of people working in biotech and in standard technology. We need to know how the PDC, our good friends there at pdc.us on the web, are going to find brilliant children of color at Jefferson High School get them to OHSU teaching fellowships through the Knight Cancer Institute and have them have good, high-paying, not just mid-level jobs for people of color, but equity where Jefferson High School students and Lincoln High School students and David Douglas students all have equal opportunity to work into the coming life sciences industry. So while this isn't, well, and that's the problem, there's 31 pages of PDF, and I agree with Commissioner Fish that we can't totally abdicate the City Council's responsibility to the PDC. We need to have an effective partnership where there won't be scapegoats, there'll only be winners. And to that extent, I think there's room for both you five commissioners and the people serving on the PDC Commission Board to re-engage with how this plan and how when we talk about these plans in public, we're going to have a face of the real Portland, a Portland that's becoming less and less white, but the money is staying in white pockets. Thank you.
Welcome. I'm Stephen Entwistle, a Portland resident, member of Individuals for Justice, and founder of the Healing Man Sanctuary. Well, we've heard a lot of testimony today on this, and PDC bringing all Portlanders prosperity is going to be interesting. In my world, talk is cheap. Some of the worst conditions for the most vulnerable citizens in the United States is happening right now down in San Jose and San Francisco, where there just happens to be 35 billionaires living. So gentrification basically is a real sweet word for violent displacement, and in some cases very violent. Bringing wealth to Portland at almost any cost has had a huge negative effect. We are not doing anything different than San Jose and San Francisco. For example, like zero tolerance policies in the parks that give enforcement officials way too much latitude for abuse of power. Okay, we're going to see that here pretty soon. July 1st is when that begins. And you can see the history of what that entails. Billionaires don't bring prosperity to the most vulnerable. In fact, rather it's the opposite. It just seems to me that we're just going the wrong direction on a lot of these issues. And we have broad ethical failure here in our business community. And I don't see anything different happening. Like I say, talk is cheap. And we'll see what happens. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
And, of course, I didn't mean to leave out girls, women, female leadership, STEM, and STEAM for everybody.
Thank you. Okay, Patrick, I think Commissioner Fish had some more questions, and others may as well follow up on what we've heard in testimony.
I'm done.
Okay, and then maybe just a response, if you could, to the presentation we heard here from the Biotechnology Association. Does that fit into our? I know it was debated quite a bit in the steering committee. So, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we're in kind of, what's the term, violent agreement with
right.
them.
Radical
so
agreement, right.
I think part of it's just how people read the document. So in various places in the document, we not only call out the incredible opportunity that we have with the Knight Cancer Challenge, but also the opportunity that we believe will come out of the commercialization of the research that happens there. I think it's we get caught up in this conversation around what's a cluster and what's not a cluster, And I appreciate Commissioner Saltzman asking John Taponi about the healthcare cluster, because it really was added as a way for us to bring forth the opportunity that exists pretty broadly within healthcare. So you have the whole opportunity for local jobs, middle income jobs, and so that's a big reason why we brought forth healthcare. But it also was to give us a placeholder for the opportunities that we think will come out of the work that's happening related to OHSU and other research. As it stands now, and I'm not, this isn't meant to be in any way this is kind of a more of a wonky thing. It doesn't stand, like, if you, in the back of our document, we have the chart that talks about our clusters, and so it just doesn't have the stats if you boil it down to